I have a scripture to read for you. It's in Psalms. It's one that I will remember from the rest of my life. It's Psalms 34:17. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear and love him. I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me a long time ago. And it happened to my family. We weren't on the plains where we are right now. We were back in the forest up north in a big, big forest where there was nothing open, all trees and lakes and streams. Well, we were camping with some friends and they had a boat. And the only way to get to where we were camping was by boat. And there was no running water. We had to take our own running water. We had to take our own tents. We were camping. Now, the day before this incident happened, I noticed a trail right beside the camp. It was a well-worn path that went right into the water. And I look at this path, I go, what big animal could have made this path? I wonder if I'll ever see the animal. Well, the next morning, it was really early. Now, in the forest, the dew will rain down from the trees. It's not raining, but it's heavy dew, and it hit the tent, and it woke me up. So I crawl out of the tent, and I my shoes, and I go, I could smell something. It wasn't a person. I smelled a moose. Moose are very tall. They can be 14 feet with all their antlers, and they will have big, huge antlers. Look down that path and into the water, and here's a moose eating out its breakfast in the stream, in the lake, actually. And he had water plants sticking out of his mouth as he's going, chew, 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 as he was eating his breakfast. And I should have kept my mouth shut. And I should not have said one word. I should have just watched them, because the moose, they don't hear very good, and they don't see very good, but they have a very good nose, and they can smell well. But he couldn't smell me, because the breeze was coming from him to me. So he had no idea that there were many tents on this little stick out into the lake, this peninsula. And I should have kept my mouth shut, but you know what? I didn't. I go, oh, look at the moose. Now, I was thinking if I had have said that with my family, everybody would have been quiet and looked at the moose and had a good time. No, this lady goes, oh, look at the moose, at the top of her lungs. And that poor moose, got so scared, he fell completely out of the water when he went under the water, when he was trying to run out of the water. Oh, God, there's people around. Well, now, do you like to be laughed at if you fall under the water? Does that make you happy if someone says, oh, look at you, what you did? Well, I'll tell you what. A moose does not like to be laughed at when they do something that makes them embarrassed. Well, she then laughed at the top of her lungs. Oh, look, that moose fell completely under the water. Guess what happened when the moose heard her laugh? Did he like it? No more than we like to be laughed at when we trip and fall. He got so upset. He started to snort. He started to thrash his head around with all his antlers. And now, not only was he soaking wet, but now he had water plants hanging from all of his antlers on his head. And she was laughing at him, and he charged. Now think about something that is 14 feet high charging at you and you have no place to go. And I'm thinking, oh, please, Jesus, protect us. And you know what? That moose runs up to the edge of the camp. He stops. He paws up the ground, and now dirt is flying everywhere. And he's snorting, and he's making all kinds of noises, and he runs back into the woods and comes back to a different spot. And he couldn't go any farther than this line. And you could see where the line of our angels were. Because the angels were going, no, 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 Mr. Moose. These are God's people. I know they made you mad, but you can't go any farther and you can't hurt them. And he went around and around, and he repeated that all the way around the peninsula where we were trapped. We could only go into the water. There was no way out. And he did that. He pawed up the ground. And then finally, when he got over to this side of the lake, he went into the woods, and later on, we found his tracks. As every few feet, he was so mad, he was pawing up the ground, and he made holes all the way until he swam off into the lake. And where he went, I don't know. But you know what? If we ask him, Jesus sends his big, strong angels and says, no, 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 you can't go any farther than this line. And he protected us. Anyone want to say a prayer and thank us? Thank Jesus for protecting us.
Dear Jesus, thank you for protecting us from the bees that sting us. Please to help us be good and not respectful to our parents. Now, but amen.
Good morning, church family. Now it's time for the morning prayer. Anybody have these blue cards? You can bring them forward. But I want to first say, sometimes you don't have enough time to write them out. Take one with you today. Take it home. And then outside of church time, you think of something, write it on the blue card. That way, Sabbath morning, you come, you're prepared, It's written down exactly what you want to say in your request, and then you can hand it in. Okay, but for those that already have them, please come forward. Heavenly Father, it is such a joy to be here today. Each one has the love in their hearts, and we're all glad to be here. Heavenly Father, we're glad that you've been through this week. We're glad for your watch care over us, keeping us from harm and danger, keeping others around us safe as well. Heavenly Father, we lift these particular people, these blue cards that we've received. We hold them up in prayer, Lord. We pray for the lame, the least, and the lost. It doesn't matter what their challenge is, but we ask that you be with them. Put your loving hand upon them, and we pray that all will be well, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, be with us today. We pray for the Holy Spirit be upon us, and our hearts will be receptive. Hearts will be open, for you are the guest of honor in our hearts. Be with us now, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our offering today goes for Camp Arrowhead. Camp Arrowhead is a camp that's located in Nebraska. It is just off of Interstate 80 near Lexington. It is actually about 300 acres, and there's abundant wildlife. It's actually nestled among trees and ponds and along some trails by the Platte River. This is one of the camps that the conference owned, but it is not conference supported. It is volunteer supported. And this is one week that they have that they receive the offering for the support of the camp. It's at this camp that kids and families can go to reconnect with God and nature. They also have a discovery camp that people can attend, families. And then they have a midsummer camp that for people that have just accepted Christ and for them to commit their lives more to Him. So I know my son at one time went to Camp Arrowhead, and they had a science camp there. So he's kind of familiar with the camp, but I wasn't. But this week, this is where our offering goes. So at this time, the deacons will wait upon you. Shall we stand? Kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have blessed us. We are giving only back to you what belongs to you that you have given to us. Ask that you would bless this offerings for this camp. May this camp help the people of Nebraska and those that attend to grow spiritually and to be ready for your soon coming. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
One.
This morning's scripture is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word.
Happy Sabbath, three angels. Happy Sabbath. How many visitors do we have here that are not Adventists? If you're here and you're not a Seventh-day Adventist. Okay. So we will go on ahead. All other visitors, Adventists, you're welcome. Welcome to Three Angels. 3 months ago, I was scheduled to go preach at our other church in Newton, and I prepare my sermons here at church, so that's where I can get my concentration. And then when I'm stuck, I pray. And then it's not like I cannot do that at home. I have a 2-year-old at home, and that can be real interesting. But 3 months ago, I was, there was actually a graduation night from our church school here, and it was going on here, and at the back, that's where I was. I chose the critical room to write my sermon because everybody, there was a lot of traffic in and out. But I had to use the bathroom, and then I went there. Coming out, I had some really interesting pants. Like really, really thick pants, and they were real fluffy, you know. So because I didn't anticipate that there was anybody else that I was going to run into, I thought I was going to use the back and just be in and out and then go, because I wasn't going to be part of the graduation ceremony that was going to be here. Coming out of the bathroom, the two people that I didn't want to meet, I met. Number one, I met the head elder. Number two, I met Pastor Dragan. Immediately, they looked at me. It wasn't my face they were looking at. They were looking straight down at my pants. And why am I bringing this here? As you can see from the bulletin, there's been a change. There's been a change from the topic of the sermon and the scripture reading itself. All this happened, and I was impressed last night to switch it. So the Spirit of God told me it's a pleasant topic to talk about, you know, in case of emergency, dial PRAY. That's pleasant to the ear, yes? But today I want to talk about something else. You see, there's something called pleasant message. And for the past two Sabbaths, Pastor has been talking about the sanctuary message. And that, I believe, is part of our present day truth. I want to talk today, for those of you who are taking notes, and I want to encourage you to be taking notes because it is essential. Later on, you can go back and refer to your notes and know what God had provided for us this Sabbath. So it is really helpful that you try and make notes every time, especially the past Sabbaths. We know the kind of Greek words Pastor has been trying to throw at us, and we can't remember some of them. But it is really good that we can take notes. So if you're taking notes, the topic for today is physical Adventist and a spiritual Jew. Physical Adventist and a spiritual Jew. I believe we are at the book of 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, 3 and 5. And I'm just going to read one more time because there's key words in there. I think we just go through them and that we really don't fully understand. And I'll be using the New King James Version Bible today. 2 Timothy. Four, 3 and 5. But before we read, I would like to start with a prayer. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Father God in heaven, we ask for your mercies, Father. Look at me, Lord, a sinner. You know I don't have any merits to be in front of you. But it is through the name of Jesus Christ and the cross that I come before you, Father. Father in heaven, may you take out my name right now and just lift up your name, and only you can speak through me, Father. Be with us and be with my mouth. Use it as a vessel, Father. In Jesus' name I do pray and believe. Amen.
Ellen G. White, she says, do not
open the Bible and try to read it without saying a word of prayer. Confusion. That is what is going to occur. Are we there? Amen? I need people to wake up. If you see somebody else next to you and then they're sleeping, we need to nudge them just a little bit. That way we can all wake up. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I'm a strong believer about enduring. But we are not supposed to endure Sabbath. I tell people this all the time when I get a chance. We are here. We are supposed to enjoy Sabbath. So, look alive, people. This is real business. Okay. Let's go. For the time will come when they will endure sound doctrine. But according to their desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministries. This is powerful. This is powerful. If that's why I asked if we had any visitors that were not Adventists, because I believe as an Adventist, we carry a powerful message. We carry a message of truth. We carry a message that you will not find in any other church. There's a word there in verse 4. At the end, it says, and be turned aside to fables. I have a note because I had to write the definition of some words that I ran into. And the definition from the dictionary of a fable is a fictional short story. If the Bible was thinking about fictional short stories at that time, fables. Everywhere. I was born in Kenya. We have people here from everywhere, from all over the world. But I'm thankful that we all speak one language. And that's the language of truth. We are all Seventh-day Adventists. We can go to Africa. We can go to Asia. We can come here or down under in New Zealand, and it's all the same thing if you're Adventist. It doesn't change. Think about this year, just this calendar year, 2017. What Pastor Draggett and all the speakers that have been coming here have been talking about. Pastor has talked about the first angel's message, second angel's message, third angel's message. Ain't that right? Just last week, he was talking about when you look at the bulletin or you look at the church website, and I recommend that we get to visit our church website because we have summons there. We have past summons. If you had a favorite pastor that needed to be, that used to talk here and you want to listen to him back still, there's a ton of media there that can help you get back and really get in touch. Or if you missed something from a sermon that was preached before, you can get that. So you can look at it. But just skimming through and seeing what Pastor and all the preachers have been preaching about here. You see, Pastor has been, the past 2 weeks, he's been speaking about the doctrine. He said the sanctuary doctrine before he puts the heading, because it's a doctrine. Keep in mind the verse that we just read. There's going to come a time where people are not going to be able to endure sound doctrine. It might be hard, but not everything in the Bible is hard. That's why I said from the very beginning that we need to start reading the Bible by asking God's help. We continue. He's been speaking about the earthly sanctuary, the heavenly sanctuary. Like, there's all different kinds of truth. These are things that if you're taking notes, you need to go and start researching right now. I believe as an Adventist, these are truths that need to be figured out, and you need to know what they mean right now. Right this, we are running out of time right now. There's things like the 2300 prophecy, 2300-day prophecy, close of probation, judgment day, and then the second coming of Christ. Our topic today is a physical Adventist and a spiritual Jew. But before we get into the main message, I would like to digress just a little bit and get everybody ready for what I'm about to speak about. But turn with me to the book of Hebrews 3, verse 15. And I welcome everybody to say amen once they get it. That way I can know we're following each other and we're on the same page. Hebrews 3, verse 15. And he says,
amen.
Thank you. And he says, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. We need to be humble, my friends. The time that we are living in right now is the time with the most information ever in the whole entire time that human beings have been on earth. And why do I say this? We have smartphones. We have Google. We have all these different types of things that we have to give us all the information that we need at a touch of a button. So we are blessed. And with that comes pride. Comes different kinds of pride, because we might have different people and different speakers, you know, coming in front of you trying to tell you what is inspired from the Spirit. Nobody chooses to come up front here, I can guarantee you that. God appoints people and directs the church to put somebody up front to come and speak to you. Do not harden your hearts from the message that we're being presented to today, or whoever speaker comes today to speak to you. Always look at him and think about, this is God has given him a message. And this is what God is talking through him. It is really critical, because all through time, there has been instances where pride has come in and it has taken over in the middle of congregations, where church leaders are trying to talk, but there's just people who are full of information, I would say, you know, and then they think like they already know, you know. I remember we had VBS, and one night I had the scripture reading that I had for that night. I tried to present it, and then the child told me, I already had that message once. You would expect that from a child. A couple weeks ago, I went and preached somewhere. Somebody told me, thank you for reminding me that. We need time to time for people to come and remind us what we already know.
Amen.
Yeah? I have a favorite author. And this whole year, I'm going through three books. And I have decided intentionally just to read nothing else other from this author and the Bible, because I like the way this author makes me feel. I read it, and then he points me back to the Bible. I read, and then I can't believe what I'm reading, because it just makes me feel so good, you know? I'm going to say something just a little bit in regards to Hebrews, what we just read. She says, If it were possible for created beings to attain full understanding of God, If it were possible for created beings to attain a full understanding of God and his works, then having reached this point, there will be for them no further discovery of truth. Powerful. No growth in knowledge. She continues on and says, no further development of mind or heart. She finishes by saying, God will no longer be supreme. This is from the book of Steps to Christ, page 65. And I believe it's chapter 2, the second paragraph. Page 65, page 2, paragraph 2. I think it's really essential for us to be humble and realize the biggest talk in our, as Adventists, our biggest mistake, and you'll hear it from not from just our church, but from different churches as well, is that, oh, I've been an Adventist, I'm a fourth generation Adventist, I'm a third generation Adventist. Forget that. Forget none of that. All of that. It doesn't matter if you have been fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. All it counts is that you are an Adventist and you belong to Christ. Amen? Let's get down to business. Or before even, you can think about, oh, all this is just driven by pride, but you know what happens to people with pride. A good example is like from last week's, Dahlia had a children's story last week. She kind of mentioned about Nebuchadnezzar, right? This guy was humbled. And after 7 years of being humbled, this is what he had to say. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. Of all who works are true, and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put them down. Just remember, you see somebody sleeping, just give them a nudge. We'll be okay. Because it can be different. In a church where I grew up in, the head elder, he used to go and just really just sit next to you, and then he would just make it a point that everybody in church knew that you were sleeping. And you would be waking up. So please, pay attention and try and help everybody who's sleeping, because these are truths that people cannot be missing. If it's a church officer, even more. Give him a pop in the forehead. Tell him to wake up. I want to speak about somebody we are familiar with. Just a little bit. I want to speak about Abraham. If you would turn to me, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 3. And like I said, we are all Adventists. We already figured that out. Because if I asked, nobody said they weren't. So we need to be getting there fairly quickly, because Adventists are known as people of the book. Amen? There's promises this man Abraham got. Genesis 12. I'm just going to talk to you guys about verse 3. And he says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Still from the same author. The best way to study and read your Bible is by comparing scripture to scripture. What's the topic for today? Okay, I want to say it one more time. A physical Adventist and a spiritual Jew. So now we're talking about Abraham, right? And like Ellen G. White said, we need to compare scripture by scripture to actually understand the Bible when we're reading the Bible. Because you can't be just going through. It doesn't matter if you read the Bible, the whole Bible. But if you're not able to compare scripture versus scripture to know what it actually entails, you're missing out. On that note, just remember the promises that Abraham got. I'd like you guys to turn to the book of Galatians 3:29. Amen. And he says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Is everybody following what we are talking about? We have a topic, and then we have some couple verses that kind of points to us. I want to reiterate something that there's a misconception about. The misconception is we don't know all the answers. Right here. Everything you need an answer for, I guarantee you, you will find it in here. Everything that you need. I'm just going to give you a fun fact before going further on. And it states that, did you know over 3 billion people in the world attribute Abraham as the father of their religion? 3 billion people. What's the population of this world? 7 billion. That's almost half. So 3 billion to attribute this one guy, there has to be something about him, right? Today's topic is physical Adventist and a spiritual Jew. We all know Jews were a chosen people, right? Why do we say this? Why do we say that Jews were chosen people? Because the Bible says it. Where does it say it? Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Yes, Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 and 7. That's much more like it. I like when people go fast, but it's not a race. Deuteronomy 7. Six and seven. And he says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be the people for himself, a special treasure above all the people of the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. God could have gone to Asia, get a couple billion people, and decide to use them, because that would have been the easiest way to accomplish what he was trying to do, and that is the plan of salvation, right? No. He chose the nation with the least amount of people. What does that ring a bell to? Least. It reminds me of remnant. Right? We need to compare scripture versus scripture. That way it can solidify the ideas that we are getting from the Bible. Just go a couple chapters forward to Deuteronomy 9. 6, and 7. And he says, therefore, understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Now, despite all this evidence that we've had that these were people who were a stiff-necked people, God still chose them. This was a rebellious people. God still chose them. Adventists. It is not because that we are righteous, that's why we are Adventists. No. Absolutely not. We are rebellious people. We are sinners. We are stiff-necked fools. But we thank God because we have Christ. We have Christ. Still on the same issue that is pressing me so hard is scripture, to compare to scripture, to compare to scripture. That's the fun part about the Bible. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 3. Amen. We are going to look and see what advantage it is of being a Jew. All this is pointing back to Abraham. Verse 1 and 2, and he reads, what advantage then has the Jew? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Mark you, circumcision is not the point what we are talking about here today. Verse 2 goes ahead and says, much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. My brothers and sisters, this is where you wake up. This is where all alarm bells need to be going off in your head. The word chiefly. What does that mean? Give me another word for chiefly. Main. Thank you. Mainly because of the oracles that they carried. Adventists. Definition of what does the Merriam-Webster define oracles as? She defines it as a priest acting as a medium through prophecy that was given. Jews, special message. Jews, oracles. What is our topic today? A physical Adventist and a spiritual Jew. Adventists. Everybody else who's not an Adventist. It doesn't mean that we are better than them. We've already established that we are not. And it's just not an Adventist. We are the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And why do I say this? There's a Methodist that go to church on the seventh day. There's Baptists that go to church on the seventh day as well. But we go to church on the seventh day, and we are the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Other people think of us that these are the people of the Bible, you know? They're real strict. The week before last week, I was preaching somewhere. They told us that oh, that's the religion where that people need to be vegetarian to be a member of, you know? But if you ask an Adventist, why are you an Adventist? What are they going to tell you? Why are you guys an Adventist? Personally, this is not something that I need you to answer me, but this is a question you ask yourself silently. Why are you an Adventist? I hope by all means you're going to tell me it's because we love God. Why? Because God tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not partial. Every one of them. Right? Second reason should be that the message that we carry, and that message is the present truth. I hope now you can understand why I had to switch the topics and present what I had to present, because I found new light. What is present truth? Present truth. It is the truth that it is needed now. The truth that is needed now. Not 10 years ago, No, the truth that is needed today. Has there in the Bible been any instance where they had present truth? Thank you. There have been several. This is where you wake up. Noah had a present truth message, but that message was for that time. That was present truth during the flood. He had a message for the people then in Genesis 6. We can read that in Genesis 6. He had a message for people then that there was a flood that was coming to destroy the earth. Would that message be relevant today if Noah was alive trying to tell us about a flood? No. Jonah. Jonah had a present-day truth. Before Nineveh got destroyed, Jonah had to warn the people. During that time, if he had been earlier on trying to try to tell people about that present truth, then it wouldn't be applicable. If he had waited up until after to try and tell people, hey, Nineveh is going to be destroyed, it wouldn't be applicable, right? Present truth. Jeremiah had present truth about the captivity of the Israelites. You can find this in Jeremiah 25:11. We are not going to read any of them. But this was present truth for that time, for a specific period, and for a specific people to listen to. Present truth. Daniel had a present truth message, and it was the coming of the Messiah. When I was talking to you about why I had to bring up what people have been brought up here to preach, it all aligns. I can guarantee you, I take you to my mama's house today, she takes you to the Sabbath, the message is going to be all relevant. They're either speaking about the sanctuary, one way or another. They're either speaking about the three angels message, which we are blessed to be in a church that is called Three Angels Church. I think it's phenomenal. They're either speaking about the second coming of Christ, or they're speaking about what Daniel was talking about, the 2300 days, the first advent of Christ. Another person who had a present day message or present day truth was John the Baptist. John the Baptist had the message, and he had to prepare the way for the first advent of Christ. You can find this in Matthew 3. What about us? Adventists, 1844. During the messages that I was highlighting from Pastor, I forgot there was a message from somebody here early on about 1844 revisited. I think it was Elder Brian that spoke about it. From the same author that I keep telling you, that I keep reading about, from all her books, she says this: study Revelation in connection with Daniel, for history will be repeated. We, with all our religious advantages, we ought to know for more than today. We ought to know far more than we do today and we do now. She's pointing you back to the Bible. She's pointing you back to the sanctuary truth. She's pointing you back to what Daniel was writing about. Every time you hear about Daniel, just remember that's the little book. Like I said, we have truths right now. This is the time that we have the most information about, you know? But can we know more? Is there room for us as Adventists to get to know more? What is our role as an Adventist? We have already established that, by the way, that quote that I just read about reading, studying Revelation in connection to Daniel is from a book called Testimonies to Ministers and Gospel Workers. Powerful book. Chapter 3. I cannot tell you the page. I was listening to an audio version of it. But it can change your life. What have we figured out so far? We've figured out three important keys. If there's anything that you need to figure out, or if there's anything you need to get from today's message, is these 3 points. We as Adventists, we are spiritual Jews because we are Christ. Amen? Jews were chosen because of the oracles of God. That makes it. The Adventists also have been chosen with an oracle that is an end time message for everybody. Number 3, there has been present truth for a specific time. A specific time. Every single time, if there's something that is going to happen major, there has been somebody who's been given that message to give out. Do we as Adventists have a present truth? Have we been commissioned by Christ? By studying the book of Daniel and Revelation, we know for sure that the present truth is the three angels' message. We are living at a time that we call the very end of time. People have been waiting for this time all through ages. People have been waiting for this time for such a long time. But as Adventists, we have a job. And the job is going out and telling people about the three angels' message. We don't have anything else. All the signs are before us. The disciples, everybody else, they've been trying to ask, even some people ask the Lord, Christ, what are the signs of the times, of the end? I'd like to point you back to the book of Luke 21. Luke 21:25 onwards. And he says, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexities, the seas and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them from fear and expectation of these things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in as a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads, because your redemption draws near. My brothers and sisters, people are seeing the times, but they are choosing not to see. With the message that is being pushed, just not within our church, not just in Three Angels, everywhere. We have a radio station broadcasting all over the world. The only message that is being pushed is Christ is coming out, coming again. We need to prepare ourselves, because we do not know the hour. It is really essential to know which side you are on, because this is where we make our stand. This is where we come and choose, what part did I take, or what part of the battle, what did I contribute? It is really essential to make that decision right now. What are you contributing as a Seventh-day Adventist to help further the cause of Christ? Don't be a bystander. Don't just rely on people coming in front of you, speaking, and then going without trying to figure out what are these people talking about. Study the book of Daniel. Study the book of Revelation, hand in hand. Please, these times that we are in right now are times like none other. Christ knew about the times. This is what he had to say about it. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, and verse 3. And he says, and in the morning, it will be foul weather today. It will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. Let us ask wisdom from above. Let us ask for wisdom to know what to do, to discern right from wrong, and to discern the times that we are living in right now. Because there's only one thing. We do not know the hour of his coming. Thank you, and have a blessed Sabbath. God bless you.